It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
This ball sends it over to Edward Robles. Goal, Notre Dame FC!
What is up, guys? My name is Hector Flores, host of Insert Name FC. And with me, as always, is my best friend and the other host of the show, Edward Robles.
Hello there.
What the fuck was that?
Good day to you, sir.
All right. Anyways, so.
Something new, bro. Something new.
Episode 13. I don't even think we should even mention this guy anymore because, you know, he hasn't necessarily had a good game.
Yeah, shit.
Well, good two games to be exact. So, for those who are wondering, obviously, if you think of 13 and you are probably a fan of Mexico and probably a fan of America, you think of Guillermo Ochoa.
Yeah.
Not his week. I will say that. Not his week at all. But yeah, we'll talk about America.
We have to.
But you know, another great week. I think. Well, maybe not great week. Obviously, some big tragedy in the soccer world obviously happened, and we will get to that. But obviously, a lot to talk about for this week for soccer.
Yeah.
So I mean, you ready to do this, man?
Let's do it.
All right. So before we get to the soccer, Unhinged Sports. They did a big announcement, and obviously this affects us because obviously we're part of Unhinged Sports Network.
Yes, sir.
And they have partnered with Fanatics.com. That is correct. Unhinged Sports Network and Insert Name FC have partnered with Fanatics. Fanatics is your one-stop shop for all things sports. Christmas is right around the corner, and let our good friends at Fanatics help you get gifts for your favorite sports fan. A link to Fanatics will be available on the link tree in our Instagram and Twitter, obviously at InsertNameFC, and of course at UnhingedSN.com. There will be a link right there so you can go ahead and check out all the great deals that Fanatics has to offer. But obviously, we've also been dropping some videos on our social media platforms, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And obviously, me being corny, and I'm having fun with it, man.
Yeah, like, he was having fun with it, man.
It gives me... I like doing things like this. It gets to test myself, you know?
Yeah, and I mean,
it's, I'm learning. I'm not that awkward in front of camera.
You're really not.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But I actually checked out the website and I like it. It's very, how do I put this? It's simple enough but it actually looks really nice. Like it looks fancy to me, but I actually like it how they have everything set up. It's very simple. It's just basically one click. And all of a sudden, hey, here's the teams. One click here. Hey, there's this. One click there. Hey, there's a soccer.
It's easy to follow.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a wide variety of sports apparel to choose from. Obviously, you have the NBA. You have the NFL. You have NHL. If you're a hockey fan. You have...
They do have soccer as well.
They do have soccer. Are you a racing fan? Well, they got NASCAR stuff there. I believe Formula One as well.
Oh, God.
I just do that because Edward's actually a pretty big Formula One fan.
Formula One, bro.
Hey.
Anyways.
In honor of the guy from Rick from Talladega Nights.
Oh, my God. You're talking about Pierre something or other. I don't remember
the character's name, but
no, I actually like the website because I checked it out right now and they actually got some good deals going on. And if you still haven't bought your stuff, personally, like I just got paid today. I went a little bit of ham on that. They got a cyber deal going on right there. So if you check out the website,
yeah, I mean, obviously, today's Monday. So obviously Edward's referring to the Cyber Monday deals, but obviously this episode's dropping on Thursday. So
oh, crud.
I'm sure there's going to probably be some more sales to be available as well.
Yeah, they actually do have some stuff that's not for Cyber Monday and stuff.
So don't worry.
Wow.
Just
smash me on the head. Why don't you just grab the bat. Just, you know what? Buy a bat from that website and smash me on the head with it.
Because Edward doesn't understand the concept of time. But
I believe I'm Doctor Strange. That's why I'm all time concept does not.
I thought you were gonna say that. Is that because that's why you're all strange? Anyway.
Oh Jesus.
Anyway, so go ahead and check out fanatics.com. Once again, you can either go to the link that's available at unhingedsn.com or it'll be available on our social media platforms on Twitter and Instagram.
Sorry.
Woke up my dog, asshole.
Oh, sorry, Robo. Sorry.
Which you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at InsertNameFC.
That so took a lot out of me.
The links will be on our bio. It's our link tree. So that just gives you a list to all the links that's available for InsertNameFC. That you would prefer, and obviously the first thing available is our link to Fanatics. So go ahead and check out that link and get some shopping knocked out for your loved ones, because if you really do love them, you'll shop at Fanatics.
Yes, indeed. You love me, right, bro? I'm just messing with you.
Anyways, so let's get going with some headlines, man. So let's start things off with the U.S. men's national team have announced their call-ups for this coming next week, which they'll be in December 9th. We'll be playing against El Salvador, which is ironic enough as it is, because obviously this is both our motherlands.
Yes, sir.
This is the motherland for us.
The motherland.
Speaking of that, the fact that Thanksgiving was last week and, definitely had some panes.
Oh, hell yeah.
So that was had some panes today, because obviously the best part of Thanksgiving is also the Thanksgiving leftovers. But yeah, so El Salvador. The thing about this call-up, it's all of them except for one are MLS players. Obviously, they're not the MLS players that are still competing in the MLS Cup, because for obvious reasons, they want them to still be able to play for the MLS Cup. So a lot of these guys are obviously from teams that have been eliminated or were not even in the playoffs to begin with. So this is going to be a really interesting one. And Edward wants to say something about the fact that they are playing against El Salvador.
Yeah, I'm not trying to downplay El Salvador, because anything can happen in this sport. It's a beautiful game. It's just El Salvador hasn't really had a great track record against the U.S. Even when the U.S. was really, it was around what, the qualifiers or even friendlies. And even it was the year that they didn't make it to the World Cup, or even before then.
If you want to think about the CONCACAF Gold Cup, I think it's the last time El Salvador played against the U.S. And that was essentially against the B team.
They
brought Altidore, they brought in Michael Bradley, they brought in, I think they brought in some other guys, but they didn't, it still wasn't the U.S. men's national team, at least at the time. It was all these young, at least these guys that haven't gotten looks, but the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like the B and a half team.
It wasn't that great. And even then,
the U.S. had to like fight their way against El Salvador, mainly because El Salvador was playing a little dirty. Let's face it, El Salvador's.
Yeah, that was pretty dirty as fuck, bro. I mean, it was really dirty.
Elbows were flying. Let's just say that. Elbows were flying. All from El Salvador.
It was like watching The Rock everywhere, throwing people's elbows and shit.
When I think of El Salvador's national, obviously we think about horrible score lines, but you gotta remember this team, this country, these players, some of these players from El Salvador were banned for a year by FIFA for match fixing.
Yeah.
How do you get caught for match fixing when you're already losing the games in the first place?
It is
beyond me. Like, you're so bad at being bad that you got caught at being bad.
Um, I basically have to say maybe they got tired of trying. So they just were like, you know what? Let's go ahead and fix our matches and actually be bad instead of actually trying to win. So maybe that's what they were. They were tired of actually trying to win and they just kept sucking. And a lot of that, I feel, is that maybe that could be the reason. I'm not validating it. I'm not agreeing with it. I really hate the fact that that shit happened.
Especially when one of those players was Rodolfo Zelaya.
Yeah.
At the time was, he was basically, we thought would be our guy.
He was basically, let's just put it this way. He was basically El Salvador's way out of the threshold of hell that is known as, you know, the freaking El Salvador team of the... Like, basically, el equipo que no, they don't do anything and they can't come out with anything and nobody's scared of them because of that fact that they don't have that chemistry, they don't have that talent. He was the only one that I felt that was actually like the talent coming out of there.
No, yeah, totally. All right, man. So let's go ahead and announce these call ups. So, for the goalkeepers, it is CJ Dos Santos from Benfica, Bill Jimenez from DC United, and David Ochoa from Real Salt Lake. So apparently the U.S. have their own Ochoa at goalkeeper.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right. Defenders. Julian Araujo from LA Galaxy. Kyle Duncan from New York Red Bulls. Marco Farfan from the Portland Timbers. I don't know why I'm like putting my fingers up as if I'm counting these guys down.
I've been saying this. You say something, you do stuff with your hands. I'm just like, God, I'm saying nothing now.
Anyway, so you point Aaron Long from New York Red Bulls. Mark McKenzie from Philadelphia Union. Mauricio Pineda from Chicago Fire. Sam Vines from Colorado Rapids. Walker Zimmerman from Nashville SC. In the midfield, you have Brandon Aronson from the Philadelphia Union, soon to be RB Salzburg player. Kellen Acosta from the Colorado Rapids. Frankie Amaya from FC Cincinnati. Cole Bassett from the Colorado Rapids. Sebastian Legette, a.k.a. Becky G's boyfriend from the LA Galaxy. That's what he is.
I know. I'm just laughing because of the fact which you told me earlier.
Oh, that I tried to slide into Becky G's DM.
And apparently you got rejected by the freaking automated response. That's funny, bro. I still love you, Becky.
I still love you.
Yeah, I know. We both love you, man. Like, amazing. You're an amazing girl.
At the forward position, you have Ayo Akinola from Toronto FC, Efrain Alvarez from LA Galaxy, Paul Arriola from DC United, Daryl Dyke from Orlando City SC, Jordy Mihaljevic from Chicago Fire, and Chris Mueller from Orlando City SC. So once again, all except for one player is from the MLS, and that's obviously CJ Dos Santos, who plays for Benfica. But I'm pretty sure the reason why he's getting called up and being brought to the US is because clearly he's probably not playing at Benfica as of right now. So he can afford to go ahead and go back to Portugal and do the mandatory quarantine that he would have to do for traveling to the U.S. So I'm sure that Benfica can sleep well at night knowing that CJ Dos Santos is not... but great opportunity for him. A lot of these... There's actually a total of 11 players that have the opportunity to make their first ever appearance for the U.S. men's national team. So that is really cool. I think for me, the players to highlight personally is Julian Araujo and Efrain Alvarez from LA Galaxy, because these are two dual citizen players with Mexico. And whenever we get a chance to steal from Mexico, I gladly will take it. Especially because they poach a lot of our American players.
Yeah.
Jonathan Gonzalez being one of them, which I'm still hurt from
I can see that you're a little bit peeved about that.
So whenever we get a chance to get one from Mexico, I'll take... Let's face it, man. If you're a Mexican-American player... Shut the fuck up with the handing. If you're a Mexican-American player, most likely you're going to want to play for Mexico. And I don't blame you.
I mean, the thing is with the Mexican, I want to say, especially right now with Tata at the helm, I would play for Mexico, and I'm not even Mexican.
Yeah, I don't know why these guys want to play for Greg Berhalter, Greg Berhalter apparently has like the magic for making guys not want to play for another national
team. Well, I mean, think about it this way. I'm pretty sure he comes with the, hey, you'll be a crucial player in my squad, or you'll be the sub in my squad. I mean, think about it. A lot of players are looking to get some playing time, and they're getting the playing time in, let's say, Juventus, in Bayern, in Barcelona, in Dortmund. Dorfman.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So
I agree with that. So obviously, I mean, those are two players I want to highlight, but the other guy obviously is Brendan Aaronson. I mean, yeah, the kid has had a spectacular season with Philadelphia. Unfortunately, they didn't continue on with their hopes of making it to the MLS Cup.
Yeah.
Which once again the curse of the Community Shield continues.
Yeah. But we thought that wasn't going to continue. They were like, "Hey, Philadelphia might actually break it."
Nope. You did.
Oh, I did. Sorry, Andrew. Sorry.
I think Andrew also felt that way too. But anyways, great to get a first time to see Brendan Aaronson compete in it. Okay, maybe not necessarily with El Salvador, but obviously a sneak preview for Albie Salzburg to see what this kid can do at an international level is definitely what the all eyes are going to be on. And then the other player, the last player I'll highlight for this one is Ayo Akinola. I have been so high on Ayo Akinola. I think mainly because of FIFA, FIFA, he's pretty low rated. So he's like really cheap player, but he bounces really, really good when you develop him in FIFA. So Ayo Akinola is a guy that I like using. I will say this. I try not to do it a lot, but I end up doing it anyways, is I end up buying US players when I play FIFA, regardless of the team that I play with. And if you ever want to do like a road to glory, which obviously is playing with the fourth division in England and try to take a team and then bring them up to the English Premier League and compete for Champions League.
Yeah.
Ayo Akinola is a really great player to have because obviously you're in the bottom of the English system, so you can afford, especially with, at the time when I was using him, he was like rated like at a 55. So obviously that's pretty decent in the fourth division.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously as he built up and then next thing you know, he's in the English Premier League at like an 82 rating, and that's just at there. And I mean, he's still very young. So, I mean, Ayo Akinola, hopefully he gets to play because this kid is very fun to watch. I think a guy can definitely be part of that rotation for forward, even though I'm pretty sure they got what they want in Sebastian Soto and Giacchini, but obviously you're going to need a third forward and maybe Ayo Akinola can definitely jump into that role.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I want to see. Like, I like to see, I guess you could say, like, youngsters actually play. So that way they can actually show what they have. And then the thing is, the young players come in hungry. Like they want to show their skills.
The average age of this team is 22 years old.
See, I mean, there you go. So, a lot of these players are going to they're going to be pacey and they're actually going to give it, like they're going to push. If you got, of course, if you got the lazy ones where they're like, oh, okay, now I'm tired. I'm just going to walk around. I understand it gets tiring, but that's the reason why you shouldn't push yourself so early on in the game. But I mean, I still want to see what they bring to the table. For all we know, there might be like a dribbler. That's my specialty.
So, is there any players that you want to point out?
On this one, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I'm not even gonna lie to you. The only name that I know was Mark McKenzie, and that was because I ended up buying him in FIFA 20 my second tier division, Portsmouth, I think it was.
Okay.
And that's the only reason why I know who he is.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's fair.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to the people. You're I'm a MLS man guy. Of the people.
You're not an MLS guy.
I mean, you already know this. I am the
I've been trying to convert him into the MLS, but it's just not working.
It's not working.
It doesn't help that the games that I take him are not really good.
Oh man, no! It's cool to watch the Dynamo score. It's just then all of a sudden it's like they get scored on and then on and then on, and I'm just like,
well, we saw the championship. We saw the U.S. Open Cup final.
It just
didn't feel like we were in a final. That's the only.
No, it just didn't feel like it because we lost.
We won.
Oh, we won. I can't remember.
They won the 2018 U.S. Open Cup final.
Okay, yeah, that was a while back. My brain is
that not... was the last game we went.
Oh yeah, that was it. Yeah, that was it. All the toilet paper. Well, no, the ribbon paper they were throwing.
Yeah,
I was like the toilet paper. I'm tripping.
Jesus Christ, man! All right. Anyway,
bad memory.
So obviously the game will be December 9th in Miami. Well, in Fort Lauderdale, but in the home of Inter Miami. So this will be really cool to see. I don't know if they're gonna try to get one more game in there. I mean, it's literally next week, so we'll see. I don't think there's going to be another game, but it's just pretty exciting to see that, just a different side. Obviously, once this pandemic is over, we'll definitely get to see what Brawlhauser has in mind with a combination of MLS and European based players. I feel like at this rate, it's going to be majority European based players, just because of the fact that, let's face it, a lot of guys from Europe are currently just doing their thing.
Yeah, they're rocking out, man.
For the MLS guys, I mean, if I were to say from this list, who's going to be the guys that can like make into those rosters? I mean, obviously, you're going to say Sebastian Legit. I mean, Sebastian Legit is actually the only player that actually went from that last call up. So, I mean, he's the one that has like some freshness to it. Obviously, because of the fact that LA Galaxy got eliminated early, but I mean, you see a Sebastian Legit that could probably, Aaron Long is probably another guy that you can see kind of getting in there, especially with the center back pairing, as there's probably not necessarily a set center back pairing for the US, even though I do like what I saw with Matt Miazga and John Brooks at center back. But obviously with Walker Zimmerman, especially, he's defensive player of the year for the MLS this year. That's someone to definitely look into. And I think, like I said, there's not a lot of these guys probably won't get called up for a while. I mean, Brandon Harrison might be that guy just because depending how he does at RB Salzburg, but you're definitely going to be excited to see what Brandon Harrison can do as far as his future goes.
Let's see what he brings to the table.
But yeah, so that is the U.S. men's national team call up. Well, it's going to be like, it's going to hurt me as much as it hurts you watching El Salvador.
I mean, the thing is, I don't know a lot of the majority of the Salvadorian players' names.
Darwin said, and Dennis Benet.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is the only one I know.
Honestly, I'm with you. Roberto Dominguez. He currently plays in, I believe, in Chile.
Yeah. So, you
know, like, and then Dennis Benetta was playing in Portugal, but yeah, I believe he now he plays in South America. Don't remember what league. I believe Bolivian. So
Don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's the U.S. men's national team. Now, let's go into Sarah Fuller. Now, Edward, I don't know if you follow the story of Sarah Fuller.
I don't. I'm going to be honest. Please enlighten me, sir.
So Sarah Fuller is the first female athlete to play in a Power 5 conference in a men's sport.
I'm sorry, what?
A Power 5 comp? Okay.
Yeah, I know. No, you didn't lose me. It's just my shock.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so here's the situation. So Sarah Fuller is a goalkeeper for Vanderbilt's soccer team. She's a three-time SEC champion. I believe she's currently competing for her fourth right now in the SEC tournament.
Nice.
So quite the resume right now. Vanderbilt is without a kicker. Especially due to the fact that COVID is the big issue. And so all possible players that could be kickers, which obviously the special teams group, obviously they hang out together. They're usually together in practice. And because of that, because one player tests positive, the other player couldn't.
Yeah, right.
And so here we are. So they needed a kicker. And basically, Vanderbilt did what every high school football coach ever does. And that is, you go to the soccer team.
Yeah, you go to the soccer team.
Man, we're very familiar with, not saying that we were the kickers for the football team at our high school, but we knew guys in the soccer team.
I got invited to freaking be the kicker, but I was like, I'm a senior. I don't want to do it. What was the coach's name? Coach Garcia, no?
No. Coach Garcia was the assistant coach.
Well, he was the one that looked at when I was kicking the ball. He was like,
Coach Garcia was always like, "Hey, you want to play football?
Yeah,
football. Want to play football?
Yeah." And I was like, "No, I'm good." I was like, "I don't want to play like for a few days."
So,
because
I remember, who was it? Eduardo was our kicker.
Yeah,
Eduardo was the kicker, and then after he left, it was Carlos, and Carlos was the kicker afterwards. Which was very. It was just cool. It was like, "Hey, my friend, he's the kicker." Anyways, but yeah, so basically they pulled the oldest trick in the book, which was getting a soccer player. And so Sarah Fuller steps in to be the kicker for Vanderbilt in their game against Mizzou. Unfortunately, Vanderbilt is a very, very bad college football team right now. So much so that they laid a goose egg against Mizzou. So the only time she got a chance to actually do her job as a kicker was for the kickoff after the halftime. After halftime, so start of the third quarter, she comes out to kick a squib kick. For some reason, a lot of the haters were saying that she kicked it horribly. That was actually planned. She kicked a squib kick. She kicked it very well. I think she got the job done. So I mean, fuck you. So
fuck off.
So she did officially become the first woman to compete in a men's Power 5 conference.
That's really awesome. That's actually really cool.
Yeah,
like, exactly. I would check out the highlight on that, see the kick.
The squib kick?
The squib kick that everybody apparently is hating on so hard. But I mean, it's really something to kind of be in awe at. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen a girl be in a football team. And, you know, there's a chance that you can actually get tackled.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, there were some very, very disturbing comments.
Oh, man.
But yeah. So, I mean, you know, obviously, there's just some people that want to see the world burn. You know, that's kind of how it is.
We're living that type of age, sir.
All right. So, yeah. So, congratulations, Sarah Fuller. Very big moment for her. And obviously, now she's back with... And for some people that were questioning her kicking power, I believe recently she obviously was playing in the SEC tournament.
Right.
And from a free kick, she was kicking it from the midfield point. She sends the ball out and she got an assist. She literally dropped the ball into the box. Her teammate goes ahead and just kicks it. Literally, she didn't have to put much effort into it. All she had to do was just tap it in and it goes in the back of the net. So, if anybody wants to question her kicking power, well, there you go.
There it goes.
But yeah, so congratulations, Sarah Fuller. Now, obviously, the world of soccer has gotten into a little bit of a low moment as we are now without Diego Maradona in this world.
Yeah, it's a big loss, honestly, to the soccer world. It's not that he was playing or anything like that, but he basically was the inspiration for a lot of the great players that we see now. And
I mean, you just think of what Diego obviously won a World Cup for Argentina, the hand of God play. I mean, he brought, there was some comedy in there in between, obviously, his crazy antics and his partying lifestyle, which probably could be a factor into, you know, what led to obviously his passing. Yeah. But I mean, Diego Maradona's a legend. I mean, you know, he's him and Pelé.
Yeah.
Those are the two legends that we speak of.
Even Pelé was like, I lost a really good friend. Like, he was...
I think what really hit me was Ancelotti.
Oh, yeah.
Ancelotti, because he played against Maradona.
Yeah.
And for him to... You know, definitely. You know, it's so much. You know, obviously, we don't know. No. You know, we never hung out. I think it would be a party I would never want to ever do again.
I wouldn't know. I'd probably wake up half naked somewhere and like don't even know where the hell I am.
I don't even think I'd be alive, to be honest. Maradona can party.
Yeah.
Anyways, but like the fact that this guy played against him for years, obviously playing for AC Milan while he played for Napoli, and I mean. Just a strong rivalry that led to a very good friendship. And obviously Pelé, another one, obviously when you think of South America, you know, the big rivalry between Brazil and Argentina.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these guys faced each other for years and not only faced each other and had like some sort of rivalry, but still a mutual respect amongst each other and their craft. And so, yeah, the world, you know, the soccer world definitely took a big loss today. Not today, but obviously this week. As we lost Diego Maradona, but I think obviously this is a time where you can reflect and see what he brought to the game. And you know, obviously one of the things that I think of is obviously his time as the coach of Argentina.
Oh yeah.
Take it for what you want, but it was definitely an entertaining World Cup when he was the manager of Argentina, but also that, and then Netflix had a series where they followed him as he became the manager of Dorados in the second division of Mexico, which was very entertaining. Just because I think the fact that Maradona is just a very entertaining person. I think that's what he is. But
his comments are like, damn, you know, they're a little bit rated R sometimes.
Yeah, honestly, he's outspoken like LeVar Ball. but he's so explicit when he talks as well. And then obviously like my favorite, my personal favorite moment of Diego Maradona was actually when he went to go eat at Salt Bae's restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that guy just, like, if I want someone to look, like, impressed by something that I'm doing, I want someone like Maradona. Because, I mean, he looked just flat out amazing. I mean, the other dude was doing was taking,
he was just removing the bone off of the ribs. He was... And then he was just like,
see how impressed Maradona
was. Like, dude, he even kissed his hand, and I think he kissed his head, bro, like the top of his head. And
I'm pretty sure
like,
he was on drugs too.
He was amazed. Maybe.
Pretty sure he was on some drugs, but maybe. I mean, the guy was very, very impressed. But yeah, so that's one of the highlights. But yes,
now me, it's like the solo goals he would do, where it was like there was like four defenders all at once plus the goalkeeper, and then he just dribbled past them, and then he'd just shoot the ball, and then he'd just be. And the thing is, what's funny is a lot of those goals, it was he would score them, and he would still get tackled afterwards, and he'd just get back up and start celebrating. And I'm like, bro, like they don't make him like that no more.
And
like,
I mean, you can't go without the iconic warm up of Maradona,
the dancing.
Just the man was living his life, man. He, if there's one thing you can say about Diego Maradona, aside from him being an amazing soccer player, was the man just lived his life. And I think no one can take that away from him. I think when he looks back at his life and reflects at everything, he's probably going to be like, I lived one hell of a good life.
Yeah. And I mean, I want to say that certain players, they take up on that mantle of, you know what, I play soccer and I'm going to live a fun life. I'm going to live a good life. Like, I mean, I want to say Ronaldinho. Like, he's the same way.
I'm pretty sure Ronaldinho and Maradona.
I'm pretty sure Ronaldinho met over the Maradona. I mean, I think it was when Ronaldinho was in Barcelona, Maradona went to go watch a game. And there's still that picture circulating where Maradona kisses Ronaldinho on the head like if he's a child. And I'm like, for a legend to do that to somebody in that moment, in their prime, and for you to look back, for that legend to look, or for that player, or even now, Ronaldinho as a legend, to look back at that moment, to know that that is one moment, one day he'll cherish. Like, it's just, that's something amazing. Like, mm-hmm. It's like getting a handshake or getting a hug from like one of your heroes, of one of somebody you look up to with so much respect.
Yeah, and obviously you had tributes all around the world in soccer paying homage to Diego Maradona.
The kneeling, Napoli with the, before the game started, they had the number 10 Maradona shirts. And then, of course, Messi with, you know, celebrating. He took off his shirt and he had Maradona shirt. I actually kind of wanted to cry on that one. Like, I was just...
Yeah, that you had...
That hit me right in the feels.
Yeah, a lot of players doing the iconic pregame of Diego Maradona. This was once again everyone wanting to pay tribute to one of the best to have ever done it.
And in I think it was Buenos Aires, even though we're doing this whole COVID pandemic, like everybody just huddled the masses together, and you know they did. Of course, some were playing it safe, some were not playing it safe. But it was more of like I guess you could say everybody was just. They were in awe. Instead of being completely sad and everything, it's the words that Maradona would always say. You know, like, he's like, you know, I lived a good life when I leave, you know, and I thank God for putting the ball on my foot for me to follow my dreams, to be able to reach my dreams up in the sky, up in el cielo. And, you know, it's something to look at where it's like, you know, even the simplest thing can make you the most happiest.
Mm-hmm. I think at the end of it all, obviously we didn't grow up watching Maradona. I mean, but we know the legend of Maradona.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that people from the older generations being able to witness Maradona, they can definitely treasure it for sure. But I think the fact that the rest of the world did at least some sort, everybody paid tribute. Everyone had a moment of silence. Everybody had some sort of moment of reflection to honor Diego Maradona, and that's. That's really, I think, for him to have such a positive impact on a whole sport is something, you know, truly beautiful. I mean, the something that I think of is obviously in the MLS playoffs, one of the players from New England Revolution, Ball, he actually is Argentinian, and he scored two goals in their win against Orlando City. And the first goal he scored, he actually had someone with an Argentina flag ready for him to grab it. He put it on the ground and then obviously did a quick prayer in honor of Diego Maradona, obviously, because that goal was dedicated to him.
That's badass. So, yeah.
So, yeah, man. So, you know, 60 years old seems like a very young age. But I think Maradona took full advantage of those 60 years.
Oh, yeah. It's not, you know, it's not how long you live. It's how you live it, you know. And that dude lived it too. I'm pretty sure he stuck a good 200 years in the lifespan of 60 years.
Yep. So, I mean, rest in peace to Diego Maradona. And once again, thank you for all the memories that you have brought.
Depe.
All right, man. So let's go ahead and get some game recaps. Hey, what's your game?
All right. Damn it. Can you, I know we just talked about the sadness, but get that uppity up. And you know what I'm saying? Get the uppity up thing.
Ever, what's your game to recap?
There you go. That's what's up. All right. So the game to recap, my game that I chose. And I mean, it was a given, but with how their track record has been recently, I chose Barcelona versus Osasuna. And honestly, they beat Osasuna 4-0, which, you know, it's a hell of a scoreline. No, especially without Fati, you know, so it's something that I was kind of, I'm sad about still. But Barcelona had 72% of the possession and the goals were scored by, for one, I was like, I still don't see this, the value of this purchase, but you know, I'm not even going to say nothing. I'm just not going to say nothing. But Braithwaite, and then of course, Griezmann, Grizzy, Coutinho, and Messi. And that's, like I said, the goal that was dedicated to Maradona from Messi. But I just got to point out that goal that Griezmann did. Holy chetos. Because, bro, that was a thing of beauty. Even the announcer was like, golazo, bombazo. You know, the dude who's always like, magisterial. That homeboy right there, dude, he was in shock and awe. But bro, let me tell you something. The goalie was like, he was ready for it. It looked like he was ready. He wasn't even locked in place. But the thing is, it came to be so close to where he could have just stretched out his hand. He may have been able to save it. It may have gone out. It maybe would have pushed his hand back and still went in into a different angle. But the dude didn't even try to stretch because it was just that fast. It was like in a blink, that thing went in. But it was just so beautifully shot. And then, I know you mentioned it, like Griezmann's celebration. Like, like when you see him happy, when you see him doing stuff like that.
I feel like you have to say Griezmann's back.
He's getting there. He's getting back. Fun. He's having fun.
When he's having fun, you know Griezmann's going to be a very dangerous player. When he does the Fortnite dances, when he does all his antics, you know that Griezmann's going to be bringing it. So I think a fun Griezmann, a relaxed Griezmann is a very dangerous Griezmann. Because I think right now, at least initially with Barcelona, it's just been pressure. Trying to fit with the Barcelona way. When honestly, the Barcelona way is just play your way.
Yeah.
Because I mean, obviously you want to see that tiki-taka back.
Yeah.
And I think with Griezmann being able to play fluidly and relax, that's the tiki-taka.
I mean, didn't you see the way that he was actually just, he was filtering the defense. He was just going through it like nothing. Like, let me put it this way. It was like Son filtering defenses in the EPL. Griezmann was doing that. Like, I was like, dude, where has he been?
Griezmann's, I mean, at least we get a snippet of what Griezmann should be looking like. So hopefully we're going to see more of it.
I hope to see it, man. Hopefully I really do.
But
I'm sorry. What?
Hopefully not against
Real Madrid. No, he better bring it against Real Madrid. I swear to God.
Yeah, he can forget how to play after that.
No, he can. No. If he's bringing it back like that and he keeps playing like that, it's going to be a rhythm that he's not going to lose so easily anymore. And I'm telling you, man, it takes time.
We
Look at Alexis Sanchez.
So my game. my game.
As you can see, somebody doesn't want Greasy back.
On Greasy back, not against Real Madrid.
It's going to happen.
All right. Anyway, so my technically games to recap is Chivas beats America 3-1 on aggregate, eliminating America from the Liga MX playoffs. I did it. I can't believe I did it. It works. I jinxed them.
Is jinx.
I wanted them not to continue. They've been pissing me off all season long.
Did we even emphasize on the jinx last time? I can't remember.
No, because I was being subtle.
Yeah.
You wanted to point it out, but I'll maintain my subtleness to make sure that the soccer guys got the message. Anyways.
Apparently they heard you.
But the best part of this is obviously you had the three teams that predominantly win Liga MX not continue in the tournament. You have Monterrey eliminated by Puebla. You had Tigres eliminated by Cruz Azul. And that's America, which I'm sure to all the Chivas fans.
Oh, they are talking so much shit to us.
Not only did they beat their rival America, but they beat them in the playoffs, and now they move on to possibly lose to León. And
well, there you go. Is that another jinx I hear?
No, I said possibly. I mean, yeah. Anyways, but all right. So America combined with these two games in these two matchups had total of 59% of the possession. That's at least almost 60% of the possession. So they had a majority of the possession in these games. America also outshot Chivas 39-31 combined once again. And the goals that sealed the fate for America were all scored by Christian Calderon in the 81st minute of the first game, the 31st minute of the second game, and the 72nd minute of the second game. I mean, the dude literally carried the team through. But I think you got to give props to Chivas, man. They stayed very well, good defensively. They found their opportunities, and clearly they took them. And so Chivas coming in as a lower seed, kind of not necessarily looking like the Chivas that were, at least we grew up watching.
Oh, man.
But I love
that team.
Anybody gets their day. Anything can happen, especially in a tournament setting. And I mean, Chivas, they didn't take this game lightly, clearly, because
I mean, it's their rival. They're not going to take it lightly, man.
So I mean, great performance for Chivas. America did what I figured they should have. They were like this whole season, which I told y'all, I don't like how they look defensively. I don't know how, but they're still somehow managing to win games. And the fact that they were third place still baffled me, because they didn't look, if you look at their stats, they didn't look like a third place team. They look like, honestly, a team that should be playing for reclassification.
Damn.
And so, I mean, they're still in the tournament, but they just didn't look like a top four team.
For all the America fans listening, I apologize on my best friend's behalf. And
fuck that apology.
Please don't hurt us.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not saying that America's a bad team. They just didn't look good this year.
On paper, they really didn't look good. Defensive wise, like they just kind of, I guess it was a lot of the just bundled up kind of shit. Like they just, it was something that you normally wouldn't see with America, I guess, the defensive wise. It was just mistakes after mistake.
When I watched America play, it didn't scream, oh, this team's going to win a championship. Like it just didn't scream that to me.
They were winning by the skin of their teeth.
America is a team that screams championships to me. I've seen them win championships. I've seen good America teams before. This was not a good America team.
Yeah.
This isn't taking anything away from America. This is me talking shit about America. They just didn't look that good to me. And
I mean, I'm pretty sure you got America fans who actually do agree. Maybe they're like, oh shit, something did happen. I mean, I know you're going to have a bunch of the haters that are like, oh, you're just talking shit because you hate America. No, it's the honest to God truth, like they just didn't
look like a good team.
They didn't look like they normally do this year.
Exactly. That was my big thing for me was, and I mean, we both had question marks with America this season. You know, they had that rough stretch of games that they had where they had to play against León, Pumas, Cruz Azul.
Yeah, we even pointed it out earlier in one of our podcasts.
They had to go against Tigres, which I thought was going to be a clear win for Tigres because I thought they were clearly the superior team. And then America decides like, hey, we're going to actually look like a real team this time. And then managed to get third place, which props to them. I didn't buy into America at that point. They kind of looked a little bit fraudulent to me. I'm sorry. They just didn't look like a third place team to me. They definitely looked like a team that could be fifth, sixth, seventh, but they didn't look like a top four team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. I mean, they really didn't.
But yeah, so yeah, there it is. Congratulations to Chivas. You move on. Good luck against León. León looks really good.
León's on a whole
I'm not trying to take anything from Chivas. I mean, they Right now, they got a huge chip on their shoulder.
Leo's
right now.
Like Super Saiyan, bro.
They got a chip on their shoulder right now. I'm sure they feel like they could go against the world right now. But Leon, they've been looking really good this year. I definitely would love to see a Pumas Leon championship game. Well, not game, but games.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that these were the two best teams. I mean, ironically enough, they are first and second. But, I mean, Pumas was, I think, for a while undefeated. Leon, solid team all throughout the year. From the beginning of the season to the end, they always just look very good, obviously, because they're first.
Yeah.
But they were consistent throughout the year. These two were the most consistent teams to me. And what we might see, we might not. Obviously, Cruz Azul can be spoiler. Same thing with Chivas. That's the beauty about this tournament. Like, anything can happen. Especially within two games, with a two leg games, obviously something can instantly just change the scheme of what this tournament's gonna look like. But it's definitely not these Leon and Pumas isn't necessarily like an easy task though. But anyways, so let me tell you guys about Unhinged Sports Network. It is a growing brand with a wide variety of sports podcasts from all around the country. And also world, because we do have a podcast from Canada.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Unhinged is constantly playing shows on their website, unhingedsn.com. Go there to listen to us on Thursdays at 11 and stay to listen to the rest of the great programs available. Go ahead and check them out once again on their website at unhingedsn.com and also follow them on Twitter at Network Unhinged. Edward, who is your player of the week?
But yeah, let me tell you some. My player of the week, I know it's going to be hard to believe, but I am actually repping the team. My player of the week plays for Man U, Manchester United. Edison Cavani.
The newest number 7.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. Number 7, I feel like, is a little bit too heavy for him.
Once again, we've talked about the number 7. It hasn't been the same since Ronaldo left.
Nope. It has not.
At this point, it's just a number.
Now, yeah.
No offense to Man U fans. Obviously, we know the history of the number 7. If you're a Manchester United fan, you know
that. And that's the problem.
If you're a soccer fan as well and know some of Manchester United's history, you know how iconic the number 7 is.
I mean, we go from David Beckham to Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo. That's what we grew up with. But I'm pretty sure back then, you know, it was
Jordan Best.
Yeah.
Cantona.
Yeah, Eric Cantona. I mean, dude, like, you had these strikers. But Edison Cavani, he actually pulled it off in an upset. It was, I guess you could call it an comeback. Upset in a comeback. There you go. Because Southampton was actually leading 2-0.
Before we talk about what he was able to do, I just want to say how funny it was to watch him tie his shoes as he was getting subbed in.
Oh, yeah.
So he needed to go into the field. So he literally hops on the field, but he's like still tying his shoe. And you see the ball moving, like they're playing. And there you see still in the halfway line is Cavani tying his shoes. And I find it impressive that he chooses to stay standing to tie his shoe, where he could have just took a knee and tied his shoe like a normal person would. But I mean, Cavani has like ridiculously range with his hands. Like, guy could probably be playing basketball.
Yeah, that dude is tall. That dude is huge. It's freaking... He could be a goalie, if anything.
Yeah, but I think Luis Suarez takes the backup goalkeeper role.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, but no, I mean, he actually managed to pull a comeback. They were losing 2-0. And I'm like, dude, really? You're losing to Southampton? I was just like, this is just...
You were about to lose to the farm team.
God.
Like the EPL's farm team.
Yeah, dude. Like, I was upset. I was like, really? I was already like, yep, if they lose this one.
But
Gunner was basically going to say bye to that seat. He was literally...
And Cavani was like, I got you, coach.
I got you, fam. Let's do this, bro.
Not only did he score 2 goals, but he also collected an assist.
Yeah, yeah,
and he did. I mean, the man so basically carried the team.
He did. He carried it on his back. And like you said, he was subbed in. It wasn't even
So for the question here, when should we see Cavani start? Like, should we start thinking about the possibility of Cavani starting?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we give him the super sub role? Which I feel like Cavani is not necessarily going to be cool with.
I mean, I want to say let's keep him as a super sub. See what he can do next game. It might piss him off, but it's just a precaution, I guess. because I mean, he played it great, but there's a reason why he's not starting. It could be in the training. It could be in something. I don't know. It
could also be his age.
Yeah, it could be. Because, I mean, if you start him, do you think he's able to last? Like, okay, let me put it this way. Do you think he's a Diego Forlan?
No. Exactly. I'm just saying. Because, I mean, how many goals has he's already scored a plenty number of goals now. But I mean, like, when are we going to see him come, not no longer coming off the bench, but now being a starter?
Like being a starter?
A solidified starter. Not necessarily a guy that starts every once in a while, but I mean a guy that actually...
Like, basically starts, like, maybe three matches in a row. Five matches in a row, is what you're saying.
Or is there still something that he needs to show?
Because he
did his thing in Italy. He did his thing in France, but that's not the EPO.
Yeah. And that's the problem right there. I mean, so let me put it this way. I think he has a dominating presence like Zlatan. Just, I feel like Zlatan, of course, has that oomph to back it up. Edison is kind of like he doesn't really seem like that intimidating guy. Yeah, like he's tall and he has the freaking body and shit and his face looks like he's about to just mean mug you to hell, but it's just he doesn't talk so much shit outside of the field just like Zlatan does. So it's, and then the thing is Zlatan backs it up. No matter what he says, he'll back it up. Edison is more of like the quiet, you know, like, oh, like I'll show you what I can do on the pitch.
But he also likes to build up his frustration like once things aren't going his way, like how he never got to take a penalty for a PSG.
And then he rubbed it in Neymar's face. He was like, when Neymar missed, he was like.
So, I mean, no, I get what you mean. I definitely say probably like hold your horses as far as like Cavani being a starter, but
maybe that's going to be his Christmas present. He'd be like, oh, Gunnar Skinner. Gunnar would be like, there you go. And then he'd be like, Merry Christmas. You start the next match. He's not Russian. I can't do the Dutch accent. Unless I can be like, oh yeah, here you go. Merry Christmas. This
that's
is
not
for
offensive
you.
At all.
Please all don't right. take offense. My Dutch people, I'm so sorry.
Anyways, so here is my player of the week. And I mean, I'm just going to keep throwing some more fuel to the fire.
Here we go.
To piss off more America fans.
Yeah. But, so all you America fans, please stay subscribed to us. Please keep listening to us.
Christian
I promise.
Calderon.
It will get better. I promise.
Christian
my people.
Calderon, who scores 3 goals in the 2-leg series against America.
We both love you guys. We both love you guys. I'm putting it out there. We both love you guys.
Just be happy we're talking about Liga.
Oh, God.
Anyways. But yeah, no, Christian Calderon, obviously, he carried Chivas onto the next round. I mean, not carry them. I mean, obviously, they did well defensively and all that. But, I mean, Christian Calderon obviously scored 3 really good goals, in my opinion. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, and they're moving on to the next round, and they beat a rival. So, you know, I feel like he hit the trifecta today.
Yeah.
So
he hit the trifecta with you, apparently. Heyo.
I feel like anyone can say the same thing. No, I mean, he had a pretty good week.
I mean, he did, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. I'm
just trying to stand up for our American fans. Love you guys. You know what I'm saying?
Anyways, but yeah, so those are our players of the week, Edison Cavani and Christian Calderon. I'm actually surprised that Erling Haaland did not make it this time, but
yeah, I mean, it's because I gotta give
change
props.
Things up every once in a while.
No, it's not that. It's just I gotta give props where props are due. I mean, not a lot of players can actually pull a 2-goal upset and actually come back at the last minute.
Very true. I give it to you.
Yeah. So. All right. Now for the game previews, there's one I picked: Chelsea versus Leeds United. Yeah, I know that is basically a championship team versus a newly promoted team. So, I mean, I just have to say, Leeds has been showing up.
I mean, Leeds had a big win against Everton.
Yeah, bro.
Last week, obviously. Man, dude, like, I mean, Leeds United. Okay, they're not going to compete for the EPL. I mean, you and me both never said that. That was,
we never said that. We never even put him in dark horse territory either.
They have been so fun to watch. I mean,
they have been.
It's one thing to get promoted, but it's another thing the fact that they made moves to at least stay.
Yeah,
in the EPL. I'm fairly confident that these guys will be staying in the EPL this season. At least for that. So I mean, obviously they're not 4-on-4 and probably getting relegated, but hey, I'm riding with that.
Yeah, I know you are.
Like I said, the first time.
I think it was like the first episode or the second episode. You were like, oh yeah, Fulham's not gonna make it.
It's a safe bet. It's a safe bet to pick Fulham.
It's like, yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, so no, I think it'll be an interesting game. And what's crazy to me is the fact that the last time these guys played goes all the way back to December 19th of 2012.
Was that a FA Community Shield game or like even a...
It might have been an FA Cup game.
FA Cup?
Oh. Might have been. I honestly can't tell you because I didn't think about looking that up. But I mean, these guys have been in the lower divisions for quite a while.
They've been. And so for them to actually come up... So I think it's going to be a fun match to watch. And I mean, hey, we got a Christian Pulisic. He might actually show up. And
I mean, he looked really good when he came out.
Yeah.
You know, bearded Pulisic.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chelsea has not recorded a loss in their last five games. So they've been in real good form as of lately. Which, funny enough, they obviously had a draw against Tottenham, which... overly hyped the game up.
It was actually a decent game.
It was a fun game to watch.
There was so many.
But most people don't want to hear a 0-0 draw.
No, but I mean, what it is like, it was a. I think it was like a handsy match. Like it was a pretty physical match.
No. I'm not taking
Harry Kane was pissed.
It was a good game. It went down the wire. It was a fun game to watch. I'm not taking anything away from it. It's just the fact that it was a draw.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I mean, Son was sleeping, but...
And it wasn't Kepa versus Yoris. It was actually Mendy versus Yoris. So, two French... There you go. There's the other French player. There's the other French goalkeeper. There you go.
Sacre bleu.
You found him.
Qu'est-ce que c'est? Sacre bleu.
He's been in Chelsea this whole time.
Right.
Well, recently got it. Chelsea.
Yeah.
Which was a very interesting purchase in my... I'm going to try to avoid saying purchase because I know Spencer's like, that's a little little wrong to say that someone purchased somebody. Which I get it. But
retracted.
It was an interesting transfer choice just because of the fact that you had Kepa, but you know what? Maybe Lampard is tired of Kepa shit.
Hey, it probably is true, man.
And now you're seeing Mendy obviously gain some opportunities. But
yes, sir.
But yeah, so I mean the other thing, man, Leeds United has not been looking that good defensive wise because they've given up 17 goals this
season. How many games have been going on so far?
We're not even at the halfway point, bro. We're almost at the halfway point. We're close. We're almost there.
Shit. God dang. 17 goals. And it's funny because they keep winning, though, at least by one goal or something.
Yeah. They did obviously first game where they lost 4-3 to Liverpool and then won a 4-3 game. It's interesting to say nonetheless, but
they're an interesting team to watch. So just keep them on your radar.
It's a fun team. It's a fun team to watch.
It's a fun team to watch because they're kind of like the underdogs. You don't expect them to go.
You don't know what's going to happen. They can get blown out. They can blow somebody
win,
up.
They can lose, win by the skin of their teeth. They can draw. They do it all.
It's fun. It's exciting to watch Leeds.
They do it all. They do it all.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, they do it all.
So there's that.
All right. Now, who you got on that one? Chelsea. Oh, okay. Yeah. Chelsea. I just looked at your face and Chelsea. You were like, yeah, Chelsea.
I would want to try to like spin zone in some way that Leeds can win this, but Chelsea looks so good this year. They're going to win the championship. I really don't, but Liverpool isn't really necessarily looking that great. I mean, Man City is kind of turning things.
I feel like Liverpool got fucked in that last game.
Liverpool also got fucked because now they're without Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, they're still a solid team. It's just that they're without their
Yeah, they got, but I feel
set,
like
they're set defensive
guy. I feel like they got fucked twice last game because what? Mo Salah got a goal and no, and
VAR was such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and then Sané.
And then I think they got, I think it was Sané. Then the VAR did something in against Liverpool. I think they got a penalty.
They got a penalty hit on them. I think they finished it up with that.
But and Chelsea, was at the, Chelsea looks really good. It's going to be interesting if they can keep this up. Obviously, the big issue is obviously they're a young team.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I would say that maybe will hinder them in some way. But I mean, Chelsea looks really good. They look like they have their focus.
Right, right.
They got Pulisic back. So, I mean, you know, we'll see what this team can really do.
I think Pulisic is a pretty strong team all together.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I got Chelsea.
All right, I got Leeds. I'm just going for the underdog here. That's it.
You're just hoping for a fun game.
Yeah, I am actually. Like, I just want to see. I want to see a surprise. It's like, surprise! Like one goal, last minute or some bullshit.
I mean,
I'll be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
It would be great to see it just because it's Leeds United.
But. Yeah, and they're playing good. All right, my second game is Real Madrid versus Sevilla.
Ooh,
yeah. That actually sounds like a damn good game.
Yeah, I mean, if Real Madrid can remember how to play soccer.
Oh, let's just put it like you so kindly said about Griezmann. You know what? Let's have them not remember how to play soccer. Let's put it that way. Let's remember not how to play soccer, all right? You know.
I didn't say not. I just said like let Griezmann not be back.
Yeah. let Real Madrid not be back. Let Sevilla go ahead and have their way with them.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But yeah, Real Madrid has actually won 3 of the last 5 meetings between each other. So it's kind of looking more the Real Madrid way.
You would say that, but also Sevilla has won all 5 of their last 5 games.
Yep.
So they have yet to have lost a game.
It's kind of like a...
And it's not like, oh, they got a draw in between. No, they have won their last 5 games.
Yeah. So it's getting to that point where... Either Sevilla's either... I mean, it can go 3 ways. Of course, they can win. It can be a tie. And then their first tie. The tie after 5 games. Or they can actually, you know, lose.
I mean, the thing is with me right now is... All right, so Real Madrid kind of turned things around in Champions League. Obviously, they started out pretty poorly with a bad draw against Borussia Mönchengladbach. And then...
Did they lose to Lokomotiv?
No, they didn't lose to Lokomotiv.
Who did they lose to? They lost to a team.
No, they drew at Mönchengladbach. They lost to...
Dovotosk or... I thought
Shakhtar,
it was...
Shakhtar.
Shakhtar.
So, they lost to them. And then...
Shakhtar.
They beat Inter Milan now twice.
Right.
So they need to win the game. Hopefully now they're in a pretty comfortable position as far as Champions League goes, because now they need to put their efforts in La Liga because they need to start winning some games. I mean, you had a very poor performance against Valencia. Then you have a very poor performance against Alaves, which once again, you're giving up penalties, crucial, crucial penalties that are costing some really good position where they can either come in comfortably and try to come back or at least get a draw, or now you're giving them goals. And that is, it's penalties, obviously, if you have a world, and that's not even with a world-class keeper, a penalty isn't a guarantee.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they just need to get their shit together. And honestly, the big thing for me is obviously the fact that Real Madrid didn't make any signings this transfer period. And I mean, I get it. I get why they didn't. Obviously, they're trying to save up for next year when they're going to go all out and get some
Mbappe,
Camavinga. I mean, the list, their dream list of what they're trying to go for 2021, I get it. But, and this is my, even though Real Madrid doesn't have a bad roster, they don't have a bad group of players. But my mentality has always been, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And they stay the same. And while Atletico Madrid got better, while Sevilla got better, Barcelona, I mean, they got back Coutinho, so maybe they got better. Other teams have gotten their
And that's actually one thing I was about to ask you. It's like, do you think that the reason being that Real Madrid is doing not so great, it's because other teams are actually catching up?
I think so too. And I mean, you can even say the same thing for Barcelona.
Yeah.
Is the fact that other teams have stepped their game up as far as transfers have gone. But I mean, just look at what the players they have. I mean, Benzema, unfortunately, is 32 years old. I mean, yes, for a striker, you can maybe kind of spin zone in a way where he still can play. But I mean, if you're trying to have this fast-paced attack, I just don't think Benzema's that guy. Obviously, an Mbappe would definitely change that.
Yeah, it would change it.
The midfield has been very inconsistent. I mean, Toni Kroos hasn't even looked like that good to me like he has before. Modric, he's old. 35 years old, man. You know, like, I love Luka Modric, and I've been saying it for a long time now. It's time for him to move on. I just don't think he has a place anymore in this club, especially when you have a guy like Isco, who they don't use.
I'm still wondering why.
I mean, you have Valverde. Odegaard looks promising. You obviously have Casemiro. Casemiro has his spot in the team, which is obviously that holding defensive midfield position.
Yep.
But you obviously have Valverde. You have Odegaard. You have Isco. You have some options in the center midfield position. But obviously, they're going to be going for Camavinga next year, and he's a center midfield. So that adds more. So you're going to have to offload some players. Carvajal is becoming a frustration for me, and that's terrible to say because he's one of my favorite players to watch.
Well, let me ask you this before, you know, we move on to the next game preview. What do you think? Do you think they're actually going to unload Isco to get Camavinga?
They're going to unload a lot of players. I mean, I feel like they'll keep Toni Kroos just because of his experience. You want to have some experience in the midfield, but you have something in the midfield with Valverde. You have Odegaard, you have Casemiro. I think Camavinga will definitely be someone that you're going to see. And unfortunately, Isco is going to be the odd man out. You're going to see Gareth Bale gone, which I don't think anybody's going to lose sleep on. I think Benzema. I think it's time to move on from Benzema. I think it's time to move on from Carvajal. I think it's time to move on from Marcelo, unfortunately. But I mean, Mendy, I feel, has done a really good job to at least have his spot in the left back position.
Yeah.
A lot needs to change with Real Madrid. Yes, you have Vinicius Jr., you have Rodrigo. Get rid of Hazard. I'm done with Hazard. Like Hazard is gonna be one of the biggest letdowns to me. The fact that I was
a lot of money.
I was so excited to see him. I knew that
I was excited because
I knew he could bring something to Real Madrid, but he's 29 years old. He's been having injury problems his whole career. That's even going back to Chelsea.
But yet in Chelsea, he would come out of it and come out flying colors.
And it's like doing gets some injured, crazy as shit. Comes back, gets injured that game. Comes back, gets injured that same game. It's like, it's frustrating to me because it's like, we wasted so much money to bring this guy in to be our Ronaldo replacement. Obviously, that's literally what he is. And I never understood why we got Hazard, because I mean, you saw Vinicius. You saw what Rodrigo can do. I mean, yes, we had Hazard.
You got also Marco Asensio.
We got Hazard around the same time we got Rodrigo. But when I saw him play in NRG Stadium when they came here to play against Bayern Munich, Rodrigo scored a free kick. I mean, Real Madrid lost that game already because it was a blowout. But that free kick alone told me this kid can play. This kid can do something. This kid's going to be solid. Why did we bring in Hazard? Because I mean, Hazard, I mean, yes, at that time, I believe he was like 27. But his injuries is something that has bothered me for such a long time. As much as I love the idea of having Hazard, I just knew Hazard wasn't that.
It wasn't the it factor.
It wasn't like the greatest signing of all time. Mbappe, that's a great signing of all time. Camavinga, that's a great signing. Real Madrid is going to have to move on from a lot of the guys that have built so much for this team. And I'm talking about la undécima, the 12th, the 13th. The three-peat. These guys have done so much for Real Madrid, but unfortunately, it's time to move on. Yeah. The game is getting younger, and I mean, you might even have to say the same thing with Sergio Ramos. There's going to be a time where we're going to have to move on from Sergio Ramos.
I actually think, okay, so bear with me here on this one. I actually think that, now, if I'm not mistaken, Sergio Ramos is actually a free transfer next year.
Yes.
And Ronaldo wants out of Juventus. Messi's going to be a free transfer next year. I feel that the only team that can make the quote unquote dream team is PSG. And they're the ones that actually have the money to bring those three players in their fold. And if they get rid of Mbappe, who may replace him? I mean, Ronaldo. I mean, and like I said, France isn't that, oh my God, kind of league where it's always so competitive. PSG is always winning. And I mean, you would have Neymar, Ronaldo, and Messi in the front. And then you would have in the back, you would have, como se dice, Sergio Ramos. He would be leading the back. So right then and there, just with experience and just with the medals, trophies, all kinds of shit, that team would be stacked as a motherfucker.
It would be stacked, but I don't know if they'll win a Champions League.
I actually think they can. Even with the old players like that, they still have that experience. They still have that crazy ass. I mean, dude, honestly, Ronaldo still plays.
I see
like
what you mean. I mean, yeah, you bring back the SNN. You just
MSN. You just at the R. I think that's even deadlier, bro.
I mean,
you got an aerial attack. The question then.
I feel like Paris would be appealing to Cristiano Ronaldo because, I mean, it's another league that he can take over. I think what his time with Juventus is finally done. I don't know if Juventus is going to win a Champions League, unfortunately.
I mean, the thing is, I think he would be the only player that they would have to pay for. And it would be a lot of money, but PSG has the pockets.
No, I think realistically it could happen for sure, especially if they end up selling Mbappe for a massive amount.
Yeah. And then
so that just adds more to their transfer budget.
And the thing is they won't even have to use a lot of that money. They'll basically be like, okay, here's a transfer fee. Here's also your contract.
So you're not too far fetched with it. I there is the rumors that Sergio Ramos could be going to Inter Miami. I highly doubt it, but
I really doubt it. Honestly.
At this point, everybody's linked to Inter Miami. Are you a 33-plus-year-old soccer player from Europe?
Coming to Inter Miami.
You're going to Inter Miami.
It sounds like Inter Miami is like the retirement home of the soccer
ironically
players.
Enough, it's in Florida.
Yeah, so. The freaking retirement capital. Yeah, I know, right? That's like sunny Sunshine State.
I mean, kind of going back to Real Madrid Sevilla, I mean, the big issue is that...
Shit, we took a wide-ass left turn on that one.
Yeah, nah, I mean, I get it, but it's just because Real Madrid is... The fact that you can say so much about your frustration with Barcelona, I can also do the same thing.
Right.
This has just not been a good year for Barcelona and Real Madrid. I mean, they're winning games.
They're winning games.
We're not taking that away, but they're not playing up to the par that we expect them to play.
They're not Los Galacticos. They're not the Xavi, Iniesta, Messi trio. They're not the MSN trio. They're not Puyol defense. They're missing so much.
The same thing with Barcelona. I don't think they necessarily made much. Pjanic?
I honestly thought that was... He's a good player. I'm not taking that away.
Is it better than Arthur?
He may be better in the
experience
category, but with the speed, with the touch, with... I feel like Arthur has a lot more to offer. He has a lot more versatility.
So kind of going back to what I'm saying. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And unfortunately, Barcelona and Real Madrid got worse.
They're basically... You know what it is? Remember, like I said, the World Cup back in 2018 when Spain came through and they actually just, you know, kind of laid a goose egg and shit. It's the same way.
No, keep going. Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you. I just don't... I think right now, Real Madrid and Barcelona are just kind of like at a stagnant moment. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of looking towards where you're like, man, Atletico Madrid is probably going to win this or Real Sociedad. I don't think Real Sociedad is going to keep this up personally.
Yeah.
Especially if I have a hunch. I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but I have a hunch that some players are definitely going to be leaving.
It's possible. I mean, you don't really hear a lot of their names out there. Maybe because they're not linked to a big team.
The next question would be, obviously, we're
about to hit the transfer period.
We're about to hit the transfer period. And I mean, this is where the moves of teams that are maybe like, we got something here, but we're just missing something.
And they'll probably pick it out of there.
And I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Real Madrid or Barcelona makes a move, especially because, I mean, yes, Real Madrid and Barcelona are probably like, oh no, guys, wait for the moves we're going to make in 2021. Like, just wait for those moves. God. But let's face it, our fan bases, they don't want to fucking win. We want a championship now. I'm not like Real Madrid fans are like, we don't want to see someone celebrating in our city that's not Real Madrid. San Diego Barcelona is like, we don't want anybody that's not, not no one else in Spain except for Barcelona could be celebrating championships.
Yeah.
So they don't want to see Athletic. They don't want to see the unwanted stepchild to
oh
win.
God, here we go.
the stepchild of the trio,
right,
to be flourishing. So let's just call it for what it is. The fan base is
gonna, sorry, Spence, we don't want your stepchild.
Yeah, to win. So but
who do you got? Who do you got on this one? Real Madrid, Sevilla.
I mean, I'm not gonna. I have to go with Real Madrid.
And me, of course.
Need this win. They need this win. If they beat Sevilla, it's gonna do so much to the confidence of Real Madrid. Because I mean, at this point, it's not even looking good for Zidane.
Yeah,
so, I mean, like, Zidane cannot play even keel, you know, chill, you know, Zen master and all that shit. Because I mean, no, motherfucker, you gotta win some fucking games now. Because
yeah.
I love you, Zidane. You're a great manager. You brought us La Decima. Well, you were part of La Decima. You got us the three-peat. Like, you did.
It was the original Galactico. One of the original.
You did so much for Real Madrid. And I want this to keep going. I want you to be the manager for Real Madrid for years. Because I know how good he is as a manager. But you're making some terrible transfer decisions. So,
what if it's not him exactly? He's going by the...
Florentino Perez? But Florentino Perez makes these big blockbuster signings every year. Okay, Jovic probably not necessarily that big blockbuster sign. No. Jovic, either you do something or get the fuck off the pot. I'm sick and tired of Jovic. I was excited about Jovic because I was like, oh man, this kid could do something. He ain't doing shit. Get the fuck out of here, dude. I am so sick of Jovic.
All right.
I'm sorry. I had to like let that out.
Yeah. I could swear to God, I saw some fumes coming out of your ears, but...
it's just a big waste of money. Him, Hazard, wastes money at this point. Because one is in the hospital bed and the other one's just riding the pine pony, not doing anything.
All right. I mean,
you choose which one is which.
I have to go with Sevilla on this one.
I mean, I don't blame you, man.
Yeah.
I don't blame you at all.
All right. So for the third matchup, and Hector still fuming. Juventus versus Torino. The Torino Derby. What is it called? The Turin Classic?
Turin, I don't know. Classico Turin?
Classico Turin. So, I mean, I love Juventus. I love their playing. I love the players that they have. You know, Juventus has won 4 of the last 5 meetings. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, Juventus has been the champion. And they're always, you know, up there. So, but right now, Juventus isn't playing like all that great either. So it's kind of like also they're not stagnant. It's just like I said, I think everybody's just catching up. Like,
I mean,
the big teams that head start for a while. And then all of a sudden, years later.
So what Juventus has added this season, obviously they have Arthur.
Yeah.
Which I think they got better from that. Even though I don't think
McKinney
has been playing that much. McKinney is another one.
I'm still waiting for De Ligt. Yeah, I'm still waiting for
the De Ligt. Center back?
Yeah. I mean, they bought him and they paid a decent amount of money for him.
Well, we'll see what happens, man. But I mean...
But then you got Dybala, who had tested positive. He's been on it.
I mean, they definitely don't look like the Juventus of what we know as far as recently.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, for some people that maybe are tired of seeing the same team winning the same championship over and over again, maybe that's the reason why they don't watch the Bundesliga or they don't watch the Serie A or the French League. It's because
the same team over and over.
Same team over
but,
and over again.
Like I said, they're catching up. The other teams are catching up.
I mean, they still have the talent. I mean, obviously, but the big question is going to be, they're going to be without Morata. Which you could take that for what it is. I mean, obviously, you just put Cristiano Ronaldo up top, or some. Or
you put Cuadrado on the side, which I think that's actually what they did last time.
So I mean, with what Juventus has, which they have a plethora of talent in their
Douglas Costa, Cuadrado on the wings.
And, so I mean, it's not necessarily like, oh man, We're screwed. Which is funny to me because like Morata, I feel like he has always played better in Juventus.
Oh yeah, dude. Hands down.
I mean, Chelsea, Real Madrid obviously has moments. Atletico Madrid, I think he looked pretty decent, but Juventus is where he really
he did shine in Juventus, and I mean he wasn't. I still remember when he was playing in Real Madrid. I was like, man, I was like, fuck this kid. And then all of a sudden he moved and I was like, oh shit, this is actually pretty damn good. And then later on he moved again. I was like, holy shit, like he's actually doing something. And I was like, he's actually a good player. And I found out that, I mean, I guess maybe I like him now more because he also has twin boys.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, but, I have twin boys too. What's up, bro? Hey.
So, I mean, as far as like Torino, they've given up 20 goals already this season.
Ooh, that's even more than needs.
So I mean,
wow.
If there's a, I don't think this is like a get right game or anything like that for Juventus. But if there's a game that they want to like,
they basically want to, they want to put their
solidify like, hey guys,
their presence. They want to solidify like, their we're the champions here.
Yeah, AC Milan is cool and all, but
yeah,
like we're still
here.
The championship, the
this Liga, is my house.
The Serie A title runs through us.
Yeah, it's like, so, this is my house.
To quote the great Ric Flair, in order to be the man, you got to beat the man. And, you know, that's something that we still need to see AC Milan do. And so I think this is going to be like,
I thought you were going to say, I'm the dirtiest player in the game, but all right.
Okay, I mean, but anyways. So Juventus is probably going to try to like use this game to go ahead and remind everybody like, hey, we're still the best team in the league.
Yeah, I think that's actually exactly what they're going to do. And the thing is, they can't just win it by one goal in order to solidify that position.
And it also helps that you're going up against a team that has already given up 20 goals this season. So
I mean, we'll see. We'll see when it comes to, we'll see. And maybe it might be one of the game recaps. You don't know.
You never know what our thought process is behind these recaps.
Yeah, our thought process is all kinds of ways. But I have Juventus winning it.
I mean, it's fair to say. I mean, I got Juventus too. No offense to Torino. Just the team is just ain't it. Like, I mean, I don't know what else to say.
I don't know, man.
I don't know what else to say.
I can't even tell you on that one.
Would it be nice to see Torino with an upset?
That would be.
But
bellissima. But
let's get back to reality. You know what's funny? Obviously this is a while back, but with the U.S. men's national team when they were playing against was it Panama or was it was it Wales? I don't remember. Anyways, Weston McKennie, I feel like I don't know what happened, but he did the Italian. He put the
Italian the I like the meatball kind of the hand thing.
The hand thing. He did that, and it was funny when Stuart Holden was like, "Man, this guy lives in Italy for 2 months. Nari is becoming Italian."
He's probably saying, "I like the pizza." You know,
I think he had a dispute with the referee.
Yeah, probably.
It was just funny to see.
Hey, I'm trying to eat here.
Hey man, he's the first American player to play for Juventus.
You're right. So
it's crazy to think. I believe Alexi Lawless played for Roma.
Really?
I think he was. I forgot who he played for. I know he played for some team in Italy. And then you remember the American that played for AC Milan?
Oh fuck. No.
Ochi Onyewu.
Onyewu, that's right. Hey, that dude was a beast. That dude was a monster. He was
such an underrated player.
I honestly thought he wasn't like that dude literally could have dropped anybody though, and he actually had the speed. It's just he just fell off the map so quick. Or maybe it's just because he got old and then he just kind of slowed the fuck down.
I mean, when he went to AC Milan, he just
fell off the radar.
Yeah, he just kind of fell off the map.
Yeah,
but yeah. So obviously we got Juventus for it. All right, man. Let's go ahead and wrap this up with 3 up, 3 down. So I was trying to come up with a topic for 3 up, 3 down today, and I just couldn't do it. it's not so much that it's a difficult thing to pick. It's just that I guess you can go a multitude of directions with it, if you get what I mean. So sometimes when it's something so vague, it can be kind of difficult to like pick something. You know, I don't know if this makes any sense to you.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I mean, I was just trying to think of a good one. So I ended up asking, I asked in the group, in our group chat, what you, me, and Spencer. And when we do anything like this, especially near like the closing period of our show, I usually want to try to do something maybe not soccer or sports related. But, Spencer put it out there and I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I mean, the 3-up, 3-down could be anything. So, I mean, why not let it be a 3-up, 3-down that has to do with soccer? And so this 3-up and 3-down, obviously coming from Spencer, is current soccer players.
All right.
Current soccer players. And this time Spencer actually participated.
Oh, here we go, Speed.
So he gave us his 3-ups and 3-downs. So we'll start out with Spencer, then you, and then me for each segment.
All right.
So you ready?
All right, let's do this.
All right, so this is going to be Spencer's bottom three. And we'll start out at number three at Antoine Griezmann.
Oh, my God. I'm just kind of disappointed in you, Spence.
But I can also understand why.
And
Spencer just started watching soccer. So.
I know, but still, I mean, I can see where he's coming from. But hey, if Grizzy keeps this up, maybe he might be out of your 3-up, 3-downs. He might be out of your down list.
Probably. So, I mean, obviously, all the hype that Griezmann is the World Cup champion.
Or maybe Spence is the jealous ex-girlfriend. It's like, he's mad because he left Atletico, so he's like, oh, he's now a bad player.
Probably. No more Fortnite dances in Atletico jersey.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, I can understand Griezmann. I mean, I wouldn't put Griezmann in the bottom three ever in my life. Unless he just became... Unless he started playing for FC Dallas, which I highly doubt that ever happened. But no, I can see what he meant by what Anton Griezmann, maybe just because he hasn't been living up to what he normally does at Atletico Madrid.
Yep.
But I think it's just because he's under different circumstances.
Right.
So number two is Andre Gomes from Liverpool.
Yeah. Wait, from Liverpool? Oh yeah, that's right. He is playing.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Andre. Like, sheesh.
He went down a lot.
It's like, there was so much expectation from him.
Dude, there really was.
And
wasn't he in Barcelona for a while? And then he went to Milan?
I don't know about that.
Really?
I have no idea about that. But
are we talking about the same
player? Andre Gomes? The English player?
Oh, crap. No. I'm thinking about somebody else, bro. Chill. I'm thinking of Andre Gomes from the Portugal team.
No. No, not him.
Yeah, that's why I was like, Andre Gomes. I was like, really, bro?
No, Andre Gomes, I'm guessing the English player from Liverpool.
Oi.
But, no, like, I mean, there was so much expectations with him, and I mean, yeah, there's that. So, I mean, I don't know if you're going to try to pull up Andre Gomes just to, like, verify. So, because, I mean, everything that you said was pretty, like, accurate to Andre Gomes, but, I mean, I don't know if you want to double-check your stuff before you...
Yeah, actually, he's a central midfielder for Everton. And,
How about the Portuguese one?
Yeah. That's what I was like. That's the one I thought he was talking about. And but you're saying he's the English one?
I believe there's an English one.
Let me see. Hold on. No, dude.
Am I really that off?
Yeah, you're way off. That's why I was like, what are you talking about? I mean, yeah, Andre Gomes did come out as a disappointment because, like I said, I believe when Denis Suarez came out of Barcelona.
What am I thinking then?
Yeah, I don't know who you're thinking about, bro. I think you know who you're thinking about? I think you're thinking about Joe Gomez, the defender.
Joe Gomez is something.
Yeah, you're way off, okay. Big time, bro.
My bad to the Liverpool fans. My bad.
Yeah, I was about to say. I was like, wait. I was like, what?
Nah, yeah, Andre Gomez.
Because remember, he started off in Benfica. No, he started off in Porto. Yeah, I'm tripping.
And then eventually played in the luxurious Boavista.
No, yeah.
In his youth career.
But
I see your career, you played for Benfica, then went to Valencia alone, then went to Valencia, then went to Barcelona.
Yeah, and that's where he was like,
to Everton.
He went to Everton on loan, you know, recently.
And now he's officially
with Everton. So it kind of goes to show, like, and that's the thing. That's one player that I honestly thought that he was doing good.
Okay, so I was wrong, but funny enough, that's still kind of goes with Joe Gomez.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's not completely off anyways.
Jesus.
I just wish the Joe with Andre, but I feel like it's still painted toward the same way.
Oh, there you go.
But anyways, yeah, Andre Gomez. No, yeah, he's been... I don't know how he's been doing with Everton. I haven't really been keeping up with him, but obviously Everton's looking pretty decent. Don't necessarily know if he's a part of that, but obviously I think of, you know, James Rodriguez and Calvert and you know, the other guys that I think of before I think of Andre Gomez. So yeah, maybe Spencer's not got there somewhere. And for number one, he has Benjamin Mendy from Manchester City.
Yeah, actually, I'll agree with him on that one.
Mendy, there was a point where he was being linked to...
He was actually being linked to a lot of big clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But I just...
Do you think it's just all the hype around him and maybe he's just not living up to the hype? Or do you think it's fitting the
criticism? He could still come out of it. I mean, he's not that
young.
Yeah, he's only 26.
Okay, he's youngish. Youngish. But I mean, I think he can still... He has plenty of time to prove something.
He does.
To redeem himself in some way. But no, I mean, I can see it. I mean, Benjamin Mendy hasn't necessarily... like wowed me in any way.
Well, I mean, think about it. He came out of the French league. It's not like he came out of French league, and then he went to the Spanish league, then the Italian league, and then all of a sudden come back into the EPL. It was more of like he just stayed in one single league, and then he just kind of finally went to the EPL at 26. You know, a lot of the left backs and right backs. Think about it from back in the day, or you know, when Manchester United, Fabio. Rafael, they were actually really, really young, and they were actually one of those speedy little motherfuckers, you know. Look at Alphonso Davies. He was left winger, now he's like left back, but he can also play left wing.
Well, I think
Azpilicueta, when he first started.
I feel like if Davies, when he goes to Canada, he will be playing left mid.
Oh yeah.
I don't necessarily think that that's...
Because I don't think they have somebody to take over that spot.
I doubt it.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, what I want to point it out is, like, Azpilicueta as well, when he first started in Chelsea, he was in the left-back position. And he wasn't always a center-back.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's a center-back. I guess maybe the age caught up or something. But he could still play. I'm pretty sure he could still play the left-back position.
Yeah, I'm sure he can.
Yeah, so it's... I think that's what it is, too. It's like maybe the change in... The change in leagues, maybe. It's also like he's getting used to it.
You feel like he's still in a transition?
Yeah, yeah. I can't really... Who can I use as an example?
No, I mean, I get what you mean. No, I totally get it. But yeah, so I mean, so that is Spencer's bottom three. So once again, I'll say it again. It's Antoine Griezmann, Andre Gomez, and Benjamin Mendy. All right, Edward.
All right.
Who's your bottom three?
My bottom three... let down for me is I wish I had more time. So, because I had to think about it now. But honestly, right now, it's I guess, does it have to be a current player right now?
Current players.
Okay, let's see.
Literally, three up, three down, current soccer players.
All right.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first, because I swear to God.
No, so, number three, and I mean, I already kind of shared my frustration with him, but Eden Hazard. Obviously, I know he's a great player. But
that was a good one, actually.
But the injuries have been frustrating for me. It's just like, man, we can't catch a break with him. And at this point, you have Vinicius Jr., who honestly has looked pretty good. I mean, I think... He just needs more playing time. And I think he's done a really good job. And I think also the fact that they're just really stacked in the winger position, because obviously you also have Marco Asensio. And then you have Rodrigo, which, I mean, you can maybe make an argument that maybe with Hazard out of the picture, you can rotate Asensio, Vinicius, and Rodrigo more often. And I mean, Rodrigo, I think he looks spectacular whenever I see him whenever I get to watch him play. And so I think at this point he's kind of hindering a lot of the development for specifically Rodrigo, Vinicius Jr. I think that he's kind of hindering them at this point. So, so I mean, it frustrates me that he can't stay healthy, but then it frustrates me that obviously when he is healthy, he's taking priority, which doesn't help in the development of Vinicius Jr. and Rodrigo.
Okay, I see.
Anything to add on that? Or
no, I mean, I think you hit it right on the money. I didn't have to say much about it.
All right, so number two, and that is Kepa. and the only reason, okay, I think Kepa's overly hyped. I think the only reason why Kepa has gotten so much attention now is because of the whole him talking back to his manager when he was supposed to get subbed out. I believe it was the FA Cup, in the FA Cup tournament, not necessarily the final, but in the FA Cup. And he was going to sub him out to bring in an experienced goalkeeper in penalties, and he refused to do it, which, I mean, I get it. You played the whole 90 minutes and then some to make, I think in FA Cup, they go straight to pens, right? They don't go to extra time?
Yeah, I think they just go straight to penalties.
Okay, so you just played a full 90 minutes and then some with injury time. And you're supposed to come out of the bench, get on the bench and just watch somebody finish the game out that clearly you kept your team in. So I can get the frustration with that. But I feel like if it wasn't for that moment, I don't think we'd be talking about Kepa as much as we are right now.
Right.
And then the fact that he is the highest paid goalkeeper.
That is ridiculous. I still think Mark Ter Stegen should be that.
Yeah, I mean, to me personally, the best goalkeeper in the world is Jan Oblak from Atletico Madrid. I mean, he's solid.
He's solid.
Mean, it's unfortunate that the country he plays for, but which actually I believe in because he's Slovenian. I believe he's Slovenian.
I think so. I'm not sure.
There's two Slovenian goalkeepers I know for sure that are up there as far as like top class goalkeepers, and they play in Slovenian, and it's kind of like Yeah, what can you do? It's like with Peter Cech. He was at one point one of the best goalkeepers in the world.
Oh yeah, dude.
But he played for Czech Republic, and certainly weren't gonna do anything.
Right.
But exactly. Yeah, so I just thought that was interesting. But anyway, so number two is Kepa. I don't know if you want to add anything for Kepa.
Nope. Okay. You got it. Trust me, I agree with you on that one. I'm like, man, he's just overhyped. I guess maybe because of his age, but also like you said, he just talked back and.
I just don't think we would be talking about him if it wasn't for that moment.
Yeah,
that FA Cup moment. Like, I don't think of anything else. Like, I can't point to you any, like, high moments of his life. Like, I mean, the fact that, you know, you have Eduardo Mendy kind of, like, solidifying him as, like, hey, you know, you might not be the number one goalkeeper anymore.
Yeah,
true. It is daunting to me. And... Number one. Man, this one's going to suck. But not really. It's easy. Chicharito. It's not going to suck for me. I mean, America fans already hate me as it is, but hopefully they feel better now that I picked a former Chivas player. But obviously I'm hurting them with El Tri. I never thought of Chicharito. Like, if you tell, like, honestly, Chicharito is currently what the leading goal scorer for Mexico of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you would have told me that, I would not believe you.
Yeah.
I still don't believe it. And I mean, I still will say this till the end of the day. Obviously, thoughts and prayers to Raul Jimenez. Hopefully, he gets a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
Man, but I feel like he's definitely a reason why he hindered Raul Jimenez's development with El Tri. I'm gonna stand by that to the end of the day because I thought Raul Jimenez was clearly the better forward than Chicharito, but because Chicharito was Chicharito, that was the reason why he was starting over Raul Jimenez. And I don't know, maybe Mexico could have done some things with Raul Jimenez up top instead of Chicharito. That's my personal opinion. Chicharito was just a really good poacher. I'll give it to him. I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson does not have a bad eye for talent. He knows when he sees talent.
He knows.
But, I mean, it's not like he had like a spectacular career after he left Manchester United. Obviously, he became kind of a journeyman. You know, went to Bayern Leverkusen. Well, went on loan to Real Madrid, which I wasn't happy, but I mean, he's a poacher. I knew what he could do, which was be a poacher, and he did a good job of it. I mean, he scored some goals for Real Madrid, but that's all you could really say at that point. Then you had him go to Bayern Leverkusen, I believe, and then went to West Ham?
Yeah.
Went to West Ham.
Yeah, he went to... No.
He went to West Ham, then Bayern Leverkusen.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Then went to Sevilla, yeah, and now plays for the LA Galaxy, looking like the biggest flop ever. I just think LA Galaxy isn't like... It doesn't... He doesn't fit to what the LA Galaxy does.
Right. I think they just wanted him for the name. Kind of like how they got clearly. Gio. Yeah.
I mean, let's face it.
But Gio is Gio.
The reason why Real Madrid got Chicharito was so they can sell some Chicharito jerseys. And let's call it for what it is, man.
All right. So I have thought of some of mine.
Reiterate my bottom three. Eden Hazard, as much as that hurts me. Kepa and Chicharito.
All right. I see it. All right. So my number three, my bottom number three, right now. As much as it hurts me, because he is one of my favorite players, and I think his career is going in an A-OK way, but I still think he could have been better. Mario Götze.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you know me. I love the kid, bro. Like, he is so good to me in my eyes.
This man scored the game-winning goal
in the World Cup against Argentina. He did that stretch, and he was a hero. And I mean, when he first started in Borussia Dortmund, the dude was so good with both his feet. And he didn't have like that crazy speed, but he had the ball control, he had the vision, he had the dribbling. I mean, he had it all.
I mean, there was a point where he was being linked to Real Madrid.
Yeah, and then he moved to Bayern Munich at a very young age. He was like 23, and he was already like right there starting. And it just, I guess you could say the whole thing, the hypothyroid, like that, whatever he had, it was just like that fucked him up a lot. I mean, the injuries,
injuries definitely was a big part. And then,
so right now he's at PSV. Mm-hmm. So he was playing for like big teams, and he was a starter for Germany. And after the World Cup happened, it's like
a World Cup hero too.
Yeah. And then after that World Cup, you haven't seen him being called up. He was either injured around those times, or it was just somebody was overshadowing him all the time. So he never got back to the form that he was when he was in Borussia.
No, yeah. To me, that was such a big letdown, because I think Mario Götze was so fun to watch.
Dude, he was amazing. So, and it's like under the two.
And plus, I love the name Götze.
Götze. I mean, dude, like, and the thing is, he was really good. He is good friends with Marco Rose. And then even when they would link up with Lewandowski, like, they were all up in it, bro. Like, I honestly love to watch all three of them play together.
I still can't believe that, though. You had Borussia Dortmund. And I mean, I believe that was... Well, so the year that the Champions League final was Bayern Munich versus Dortmund. And it was... Obviously, it was... Basically, it was Lewandowski's last game for Dortmund. And Götze didn't even start that game. I believe he was injured
that
time. But yeah, so it's just crazy to think that one period you had Marco Reus, Robert Lewandowski, and Götze. And it was just like... Wow,
it was a killer.
And then to have two of those three go to the rival.
And then not only that, but you had Aubameyang in the right wing.
Yep.
So it was a killer ass fucking attacking, and the distribution from Götze was nice. It was perfect, but he was a letdown for me, especially because I admired him so much. I was like, man, this kid is going to go places. It just, you know, it was bad. But my
didn't work out.
Yeah. And then my number two, you may agree with me on this one. And maybe this is a player, you weren't thinking about him, but this is another player, Portuguese player, André Silva. He was a letdown to me. I mean, think about it. He's 25, but he's playing for Everton. And mind you, he came out of Barcelona to Milan. That's who I was thinking
of. Oh, I thought you were going to say the Frankfurt one.
No.
André Silva?
André Silva? No. Yeah, he is with Frankfurt. He played with Everton for a little bit as well. And then he went back to Frankfurt. It's like, to me, I feel like he's a letdown because he was playing. He came from Porto to Milan. And then from Milan, he went to Sevilla. So then Andre Gomes was in Barcelona. I'm thinking Andre Silva was in Milan. And I honestly thought that he would have had a really good career in Milan. It's just, I guess maybe he didn't play up to his potential because he went on loan with Frankfurt and Sevilla.
No, he went to Frankfurt
before that.
No, but I'm talking about like recently.
Right now, yeah, he's at Frankfurt.
He went on loan to Frankfurt, and that's when they brought in Zlatan.
Yeah, and then now they sold him to Frankfurt.
Yeah, they sold him to Frankfurt. I'm trying to come with this, but no, I mean obviously Zlatan was an issue. And then obviously AC Milan right now has Leao, another Portuguese forward that has a lot of potential as well.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, obviously he just became the odd man out. Mind you, freaking AC Milan made a lot of moves at forward. They had at one point, what was his name? Perisic?
Perisic, yeah. Ivan Perisic?
No, that's Inter Milan.
That's Inter Milan.
There was some forward from Poland that they brought in. At one point in AC Milan, and obviously they brought in Zlatan, and then they got rid of him. They transferred him literally within. He was only there for half the season,
yeah.
And then they transferred him out again. But then they brought in Zlatan Ibrahimovic. So I mean, obviously, just because of Zlatan being a factor.
Well, that too. But I'm looking at the stats right now, and apparently from 2017 to 2020, you know, he's been with Milan, even though he was out on loan for 2 years. On that year itself, for 25 matches, he only scored 2 goals.
Okay.
And as a striker.
Okay, yeah. So, all right. So Silva. No, I get you.
Yeah. And then my main one, and another player that I love, maybe he's not a complete letdown or, you know, bottom three. Alexis Sanchez.
Okay.
Because, I mean,
he hasn't really been the same.
He hasn't been the same since he was in Barca. When he went to Man U, it kind of just...
You mean Arsenal first?
Oh, yeah, Arsenal. Man, he's just...
Yeah, no, I totally get you. I mean, hopefully... He's looked better in Inter Milan. But,
yeah, he does.
But no, I get you. All right, so top three. So Spencer has João Felix at number three, which makes sense now that why he chose Atletico Madrid.
Yep.
Roberto Firmino from Liverpool. I find that interesting. It's a little interesting one. Just because, like, Firmino hasn't necessarily been living up to what he normally does.
Don't look at me.
But, that's his guy. That's his guy.
Yeah.
And then number one, obviously, Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah.
So, I think the top three is definitely, they got some good players. For me, the only question mark is obviously Roberto Firmino. But I think as of this season, I mean, he's clearly a good player. I'm not trying to take that away from him or anything like that, but... Obviously, he just hasn't been looking that good this year.
Yeah. I mean, well, what's your top three?
So, my top three, I mean, number three, I don't want to go for like the obvious ones because I don't want to be too obvious, but
Ronaldo, Messi.
Yeah. So, I'm going to try to avoid having those guys. So, number three, I have Marcelo.
All right.
Even though I know I said something about like Real Madrid should probably sell Marcelo, but. Marcelo's just been a really good fullback. He's so much fun to watch. He's always in every single play. You always can rely on him in the attack as well as well as in defensively. So Marcelo's just always been and obviously once again, I like fullbacks. That's one of my favorite positions. So to see someone that can literally be the prime definition of what a fullback is supposed to be, Marcelo's definitely the best one at it.
Besides Dani Alves, but go ahead.
I'm just gonna ignore that.
Dani Alves.
Marcelo was so much better than him.
Anyways, keep going.
Okay, number two. As far as current players, man, I mean Erling Haaland.
Hey, yeah.
I mean the kid
took away one of mine.
The kid's a wrecking ball, man. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
He came in here like a wrecking ball.
you put so much effort in singing Alejandra's name and this, and you don't put that much effort in singing
Frozen. It's Frozen. What the fuck you want me to do?
And get your hands off of my woman.
Get your hands off my woman.
That was not the song.
I know. That just sounds like a...
Anyways, you put more effort in that than you do in the two songs that you lost the bet on.
Yeah, fuck it. What do you mean? I did. I tried putting effort into that.
Spencer shitted on it and be like...
yeah, because I've never heard that song before in my life. I've never, ever heard
excuses.
It. Go ahead. I'll even sing the freaking My Fat Baby from Family Guy over that.
You would sing it.
No, because I know the song. I know the song.
It's the whole. But the whole point of the bet is to sing it.
So what?
You want me?
Okay, Spencer, if you're listening to this, if you lose a bet, I'm making you sing a Spanish song. And you're going to have to learn it.
And he's going to do it.
I know he is. But he's not going to learn half of the words. He's going to.
But he's going to do it.
He's going to be talking about grinding and shit. He won't even know.
But he's going to do it at the end of the day.
I did it at the end of the day.
Anyways. All right. All right. So, Erling Haaland, obviously, great player. Number one. I mean, I have to say it. I already said it already at the show, in the show already. But Jan Oblak, man. Dude, the guy's the best goalkeeper in the world. I honestly don't see anybody can change my opinion on that one. I think Jan Oblak is a solid goalkeeper. Top world-class goalkeeper. I mean, Ter Stegen's definitely up there with him, but I think Jan Oblak edges him out just by a little bit. But I definitely...
The experience, like, maybe?
Experience definitely is the big factor, but I mean, Jan Oblak just... He's a big thing to factor into the games. And I know, like, Messi clearly has taken advantage of Jan Oblak over the years, but I mean, you can even agree that Jan Oblak is a solid goalkeeper.
Right.
So yeah, so my top three... Marcelo, Erling Haaland, and Jan Oblak.
All right. Well, you took one of mine, you bastard.
You can still put it on a fucking list. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so my number three on the top is going to be Mark Ter Stegen.
Okay.
Mark Ter Stegen. He's a badass goalkeeper. Even though he fucked up against Atletico Madrid. But I forgive him. He shouldn't have come out. My number two, this might actually surprise you, maybe. Timo Werner.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's supposed to surprise me.
Well, it might surprise you because, you know, I don't really follow a lot of Chelsea players, but it's just, he's good. That goal that he got on Noel, that was actually a really hell of a shot. Like, that was a weird ass angle.
Okay.
But then my number one, who else but Robert Lewandowski.
Okay, so you also tried to avoid Messi and Ronaldo as well.
Yeah, I did. But I mean, dude, Lewandowski is just a freaking cold.
No, beast. No, you're right. I mean, I would definitely have said Lewandowski over. I probably would have said it, but Haaland is just so much fun to watch right now.
Yeah, he is. He's got that crazy speed. So, but
I mean, and I'm not saying that Lewandowski hasn't been fun to watch this year. I mean, he's scoring goals as well.
Dude, he's scoring goals with the golden boot race
right now in the Bundesliga. Yeah. It's gonna be so much fun to watch.
The thing is, like, Lewandowski scored almost with all his body parts, literally. Like, the dude literally just shows up and it's like he stretches his leg out or whatever, and then like it hits the inside of his chest.
I totally agree with it. All right, so let's go ahead and reread the top threes again. So for Spencer, number three is João Felix, number two is Roberto Firmino, and number one is Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah.
My top three was Marcelo, Erling Haaland, and Jan Oblak. And
me is Ter Stegen, Timo Werner, and Robert Lewandowski. I always get that fucking, you know.
Imagine if BN Sports got to like announce Bundesliga games.
Roberto Lewandowski. Yeah.
Magisterio.
Oh yeah, that dude. That guy was magisterial. He looked like a gazelle, like a flamenco.
Oh my God, Robert Lewandowski!
Oh, yeah. Oh God.
If you guys haven't watched BN Sports in English,
you need to watch it.
That dude is electric. I don't care what game he's like announcing, but it's electric. As long as they're scoring goals. As long as they're magisterial goals.
Or even if he does like a Meg. Like, if he does a nutmeg.
He has some funny sayings too. Like,
he sounds like he's having an orgasm. He's like, that was beautiful. That pass was so lovely.
So that's the show. We want to give our shout outs to Unhinged Sports Network. Once again, it is a growing Network. We're a part of it. You can catch us on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Central Time at unhingedsn.com, but also follow them on Twitter at Network Unhinged. Shout out to the lady that created our logo, our amazing logo. And as a matter of fact, Unhinged Sports Network actually are hitting her up, as a matter of fact, to help them with some logo creation.
Yeah.
And that is Alejandra Gomez. She's the best. I don't say that just to be nice. I mean, I literally think she's the best. You can follow her on Instagram at Ale Gomez Graphics. You guys need a logo done, let our girl Alejandra take care of you, because she's got you.
Let her go. Wait, what did you say? Let go off. Wait.
Let her go?
No, what was it? Let her go off?
What was it? Let her, what the fuck?
Go off. Whatever.
Go off, queen. There How hard go. Is this to say? It's three fucking
I'm
words.
Trying, I'm trying.
It's
I'm
three
trying,
fucking words.
I'm everyone. Trying to get you to say it.
You That's fucking what. Idiot, man. Like, I swear to God.
I'm trying to get you to say it.
Go off, queen.
There you go.
Anyway, so sorry, Alejandra. He ruined the great ad for you. But yeah, if you guys want a logo created, go ahead and hit up our girl, Alejandra Gomez. Follow her at Instagram at Ale Gomez Graphics. Once again, it's at Ale Gomez Graphics.
Love you.
Anyways, shout out to the Chick-fil-A Player of the Year Award. Our Chick-fil-A Player of the Year Award. Our producer, Roosevelt Spencer. Yeah, he's our Chick-fil-A Player. Do you not remember from last week?
I don't.
Bro, you are... You are something else. How dare you? How dare you insult the Chick-fil-A Player of the Year?
I'm sorry. I
You all Spencer Chick-fil-A.
Oh, man. No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, no.
It's official. You owe Spencer Chick-fil-A
no.
For forgetting his award. How dare you, sir? Anyways, so Chick-fil-A. So, Spencer. Dang. Got me thinking about Chick-fil-A right now. So
I wonder how many of our listeners think about Chick-fil-A now.
Anyway, Spencer is our producer. He also creates our beats for our intro and outro. So if you guys like the way we sound, if you guys like the dope ass beats that we have for the intro and outro, hit him up on Instagram at that guy dope. So he can do some sort of collaboration with y'all. And I mean, let's face it, man. The beats are solid.
They really are. I think I use a couple of those soundtracks to do my workout.
Well, there you have it. So, all right, man, that's the show. I think we had a really good one.
Yeah, today was, I guess we had a lot more to talk about.
Fucking moron, but
hey.
What else is new?
Yeah, all right. You should know. You should be used to it already after all these years.
All right,
apparently bro. Not.
And once again, you're the bad influence.
All right.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm the college graduate, remember?
Oh, I just throw that in my face, why don't you? Oh my god, like that's gonna make you the nice one, the good one. Yeah, right, man. Whatever. I've seen you driving around at 3 a.m. all drunk and shit.
When have you ever seen me drive around? Why are you up at 3 a.m?
Going to work, going to the gym.
You do not. When have you seen me driving drunk? I don't drive drunk.
Okay, tipsy.
I don't drive tipsy.
Buzz.
If I drink alcohol, I'm not driving.
Well, it was a while back. Remember when you ran into my dad?
In high school?
No, it wasn't in high school.
Yes, it was
in high school. Oh, was it in high school? That shit was hilarious. That shit was fucking hilarious.
Wow, you're gonna judge poor old 16-year-old Hector.
Don't you dare use that fucking poor old bullshit. You know what you did. You fucking drive your fucking trying to look through a window and shit. Anyways, let's just go through this shit. After
anyways, this is the show. Thanks for listening. Catch us next week where we have another week of soccer to talk about. Obviously, we will also be previewing the MLS Cup final. So make sure you guys stay tuned, and we'll obviously have our good friend Andrew from Kicking It with Drew SC to go ahead and preview that game. And of course, we'll also be previewing the Liga MX final as well.
Yeah.
So take care, guys. Thanks for listening.
Take care.
Rock with